Yowza, and welcome to another episode of Jen and Hijamis with me, Marvin Schneider, and the very dynamic Jen Ward. Hello, Jen.
Hi, Marvin.
Darshan, of course, our ever-present co-host. And Darshan has a friend.
Darshan is in heaven. He's got his new puppy here, and he's so happy. They love each other right away.
So can we see him a little bit more? Just, yeah. All right. And
look how proud Darshan is.
I know. Let me explain a little bit. So his name's Kip, and he was he migrated from Australia to America. He is, in fact, a puppy Australian Kelpie, which is a working dog that a lot of Australian farmers use, particularly sheep farmers, use to round up herd sheep. They're really smart, loyal as, and they have a real tenacity for work. They are a working dog, but anyone that knows anything about, you know, Australian farm history, they will recognize the Kelpie straight away. So that's what that is. And he's cute.
He's already spoiled though, because he came to us with this chain on a choke collar.
Yeah.
I was so mad. It was so tight. And it was like when you have a collar for a dog, you should be able to fit at least two fingers between it. So yeah. It's not like choking on him. It was just too tight. So he liked his collar because, you know, it was his. Dogs like their collars. But I have to get him his own that's a little bit bigger because we can't.
You couldn't just loosen it up?
No, there was no way to loosen it up. And there's no way I was going to let him be tortured like that.
Good. So it's so cool that Darshan has a friend.
I didn't know that Darshan, I mean, they fell in love with each other as soon as they saw each other. And it's like, I didn't know it was meant to be. He's like so happy. They both love each other so much.
Yeah. And one of the things that I've learned is working dogs like this, and maybe dogs in general, you can tell me, Jen, but dogs like Kelpies, the Australian cattle dog, German Shepherds, other working dogs, they imprint on their human very quickly and very strongly.
Yeah, well, and there's a problem with, in America, there's a problem with like humans that like don't work their dogs enough and stuff. And so they're so loyal and they want jobs to do.
Absolutely.
They get imprinted with the human's problems.
Okay.
And so it's like they have to be worked. They have to like have jobs. And humans don't understand like when they leave their dogs at home and they say, watch the house. They don't understand that dogs don't realize that people just can't walk in and out of the house. So it really stresses the dogs out when you give them the job to watch the house. So my dog had one job, and she had one job, and that was it. And it was to be cozy.
Right.
And so she was supposed to supply me with that cozy factor.
It's so very well. It's so funny when you said, you know, your dog had one job and one job only. So every now and then Jen sort of says to me, Marvin, you've got one job and one job only. And, you know, and it's like, oh, okay.
No, but you're doing so much. I mean, you're doing the editing. You learned how to do video to, like, take care of that. You're helping me with all the orders and creating product and keeping me on track because I'm exhausted. And he says, no, we got to record more Jen and her jammies because we're going to run out. So he's the taskmaster behind all this. No, you got to write all these synopses of all these sessions that you've done and put tabs with them and then pin them up to social media and share them.
Well, you've got a backlog of six, right? So there's three Jen and Hijamis that we haven't written blog posts for and three private sessions. So that's six. So, and I'm not sure if people, you know, the listeners realize this, that each private session and each Jen and Hijamis, you know, if there's 1 hour on camera, there's like 3 to 5 hours, you know, back office. So it is keeping up with it. Yeah.
But that's not even counting the energy work.
For sure. Absolutely.
So when one person puts up a session on their, about their session, it's a surrogate for everyone out there in the world who's going to watch it and do the session as well. So their energy work is being done as well. And by the way, people still don't understand this. I don't know how to make them understand that when they do the taps, because I posted something about removing curses. This woman had, she literally felt her life was cursed. And before she even told me that, I picked up that the curses were there.
Yep.
All a curse is someone inflicting their intentions on your life and derailing your own. So it doesn't have to be nefarious, but this happened to her. So I put out this whole thing today to remove curses. And the person says, well, this is dangerous. If I don't know what the curses are, isn't it dangerous for me to try to release them on my own? And what people still don't understand is they're not doing it alone. I'm their training wheels.
Get with the program, people. Pay attention.
No, it's not that. It's just like, I want to put this out there. And people, that's the whole point of this. This is Jenna Najami's, and this is a profound way to realize it. This is your spiritual training wheels. You can do the taps. You can learn to be empowered. And you can take on these things that have been nefarious to you.
Yeah.
With this protection.
Yeah. Can I give my experience on that?
Yeah.
So I'm going to give you my experience, and then I'm going to give you the experience of my business partner as well, who's working with us on this big agenda that we're working on to uplift humanity. Okay. So my experience, I have never really bought into the whole, you know, entities, demons, the whole demonic thing, because I never really bought into sort of mainstream dogmatic religion and, you know, the fear base of it. So I've never had that as an issue, but you know, from time to time.
And neither have I, just so you know, neither have I.
Very good. But from time to time in my dream state, I do get into sort of nightmare scenarios and sort of battling various things. And sometimes I do wake up in a cold sweat, but then, you know, once it's done, it's like, okay, that was an interesting dream, interesting experience, you know, be gone, see you later, you know, and that's it. Now, my business partner, he had a completely different experience. He's had a number of very profound metaphysical experiences and, you know, battling, you know, nefarious energies all his life. And the interesting thing is that after meeting and working with Jen for, I'm going to say for 2.5 decades, this poor guy has been battling this stuff and constantly looking over his shoulder and, you know, hairs on the back of his neck standing up, and he's constantly, you know, second guessing, you know, where the next nefarious energy hit's going to come from. And since working with Jen, and then now we're 8 months into it or thereabouts, he doesn't have any of those issues. So that's pretty, pretty cool. Don't you think?
And he got to drop a lot of his, do you want to tell him that, how he
had his ritual? No, that's just
not details, but just like, you know, there's
okay,
a
lot. Okay, so let perhaps I can do it, so I can just be at least a little bit sort of obfuscated.
I wasn't going to mention him. I was going to mention in general. People have their things that they think they need to do.
Crutches. Like, So this dude has been in a spiritual path, you know, New Age spiritual path, Eastern spiritual philosophies for 2.5-3 decades, and he was meditating, yogaing, chanting, the whole shebang, hours and hours and hours a day, and you have freed him from that. So with no, you know, negative consequence. And he was doing this, by the way, because he thought he had to in order to stay on top of all the nefarious. And it's like Jen just comes in there and goes, see ya, bye. And it's like, and this dude's going, wow, I've suddenly got 4 hours a day that I can actually do some work with. You know, this is just crazy stuff, right?
Yeah, I remember you told me before I worked with him that it's going to be a problem. And I go, no. And it's like, yeah.
So anyway, that's so anyway, look, it's really good that Dashin's got his best mate. Dogs often are described as best mates for their owner. Now, look at the hat.
Yay!
So we,
isn't that a handsome specimen for a hat, you guys?
It's pretty cool. So I don't know if you can tell. So there's the Genuine Healing logo. Don't know if you can read that, but it says "Relax your atoms." It's just so cool to have just that expression, "Relax your atoms," on a hat that you know you can wear indoors. You can wear it outdoors. Obviously, I'm in Australia, so every time we go outside, we're wearing a hat of some description or another. The other cool thing is it's got this motif is representing the Indigenous Aboriginal, Australian Aboriginal motif. That's the unofficial Aboriginal flag has these colourings. It is, by the way, black. So as we were never quite sure whether it was navy blue, but I think we can now agree that it's black. So we would love to see as many people that, you know, benefit from the work of Genuine Healing to support Genuine Healing and get a cap and gift it to other people, wear it with pride. And it'd be just great to see lots and lots of people. You know, I'd love to be out of stock. There's a limited edition, so I'd love to be out of stock within the next week. Something to bear in mind, though, is that because the production work was specifically done in Oz for this merchandise range, it will be shipping out of Oz. So, and with COVID and various other, you know, restrictions and whatever, just please be patient. They will be shipped out. I can't guarantee how long it's going to take, but we're going to do standard shipping. And the interesting thing is that the vast majority of these will be going overseas. So at this stage, I don't have any orders in Oz at all.
Tell them what you said before. Tell them what you said. Tell them.
Well, you're going to have to give me a clue at least.
Oh, okay.
I'm not a mind reader.
I asked him, well, if they're all in America, just send them to me and I'll mail them out.
Oh,
and
right. Okay.
His response was, no, I don't want
to do that.
This was his response.
Yeah, basically I said, Jen, that's very generous and all, but you just don't have the, you know, the structure and the discipline to do order fulfillment from your place. So basically I'm doing order fulfillment out of my bedroom, which basically means that every time I'm going to wait till there's one or two orders, and then every other day I need to take a run down to our post office and get this shipped internationally. So anyway, look, I'm not complaining. I love to do it. I think it's a great cause. But I really do hope that people will support the merchandise range. And if this range goes well, then we'll think about the next range. So there
well,
you go.
I like what I mean. I think it's profound what it represents. So yes. what we're doing is like transcending the third dimension into the fifth dimension and giving individuals a conscious way to be present in the fifth dimension.
Yep.
So to have these hats walking around in the world
yep.
is basically symbolic for nailing the fifth dimension into reality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think we said on a previous episode, it'd be great if people would take a selfie with themselves somewhere in some situation with a hat. If they're willing to share it, we will work out a way of putting a supporters page on the website, genuinehealing.com. So if that's something you're interested in, let us know, send us your photos. But just bear in mind, if you do send the photo, then effectively you are giving permission for us to upload it. Okay, so just take that in mind. Look, the other just quick thing before we get onto the spiritual topic of the day is we have a number of group sessions coming up. The first one is a Mother's Day group session. This is a great session for anyone who is a mother, has a mother, and who you know, being a mother, having a mother, it's not always beer and Skittles. It's sometimes things don't work out. And so this session is all about healing those relationships. So anyone that either is a mother or has a mother, which basically means everyone, you're welcome to participate in this. May the 9th 7 p.m. New York time. Please work out what time that is in your local time zone. So that's the first one. The second one, and there's still plenty of slots available. We're not limiting it, but there's still, but we are time limited. So please sign up as quickly as you can if you're interested. The next one is the following Sunday, which is May the Help Me Out 16th, 7 p.m. New York time. That session will be on sound healing. It'll be another group session. And the reason why we're doing these group sessions is it's a way to allow people to interact with genuine healing at a price point that is, you know, quite different to a private session. So that's why we're doing that.
Tell them the special thing about the sound healing. Is that you might do the dragon sound healing for you.
Yeah, or the throat singing, as I describe it, the didgeridoo kind of, yep. So yes, that's a special look forward to that. If you're interested in seeing a little bit more of that in real time, then please sign up for that one. We're getting a lot of interesting demand for the third one, which, and give me one second, I'm just going to have to check my calendar, is the 23rd of May, again, 7 p.m. New York time. Work out what that is for you. That one is a SFT facilitators workshop. That one's going to be 2 hours. So that's going to be intense. And basically the way you wrote up the description is bring your questions, bring your notepad, and bring your, you know, your enthusiasm, because you're going to be downloading pretty much decades and decades of understanding about the SFT tapping, how to do it, how to structure it, you know, and all that you've learned about it.
And how to facilitate so it's clean, and how to keep yourself clean. There's a lot of people who don't understand the dynamics of healing and how to keep themselves from being caught up in the clients.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. And look, we've got a couple of examples. Look, let's not go down that. But yes, keeping it pure, keeping the ego out of it as a facilitator. But look, I think there's at least one person. I'm going to guess their motivation for signing up to the workshop is not to be a facilitator to do healing work on other people, but to be better at doing the SFT taps for himself.
That's
so it works both ways.
Yeah, because, so there's a lot of motivations, and some motivations come and people don't even realize it, but they feel like I'm meant to do something. I know I feel like a healer, but I don't have any modalities, and I'm not into like feeling energy and all the foo-foo. And that's perfect for what the SFT is. You don't have to ascribe to any groups. You don't have to like be a grand poo-pah mentality. You don't have to want to gain a mailing list or anything.
No. And can I just add, you don't have to ascribe to any spiritual philosophy. You don't have to sign up to the idea of source. A lot of people do, but you don't have to.
As a matter of fact, a lot of people who come, like they have clients, like they're already therapists, or they're doing traditional therapists, or doing even massage therapists, or even like energy workers, who have these clients that they just can't get through. And then they like they just give them the taps, or they're exploring how to do the taps. Yeah. So a good book to do as a companionship for the SFT workshop is the SFT lexicon.
Lexicon, because, absolutely.
Because I have a feeling, you know, I'm just this dumb.
Dumb, hang on, cancel.
I know, but for the adepts. So the adepts have this all planned out, and I don't know what the freak they're having me do. But they got me up one night, and like years ago when I started writing, they had me write all these tabs for different issues.
Yeah.
Do you know what that thing is where your knuckles, Tupitran contracture?
No.
It's something like that. There's all these different pathologies. And one of them is where your fingers lock up like this.
Okay.
And
I don't know what it's called, but I can understand what you're saying.
I think it's like Dupuytren. We had to take pathologies and anatomy and physiology when I did massage therapy. But when they do this, you know what the issue there is?
No.
In a past lifetime, they were in battle with one of those old muskets, and they were shooting their gun, and they're just locked in.
Okay.
So they can remove the engrams of shooting like that.
Wow.
See?
And so what I've learned recently, a lot of people are now messaging you on your contact gen form on your website, you know, asking for some assistance or just some ideas. And generally, a lot of your responses are, you know, well, let's put it this way. The person contacting you is describing their physical issues, and what you respond back to them in relation to is, do the taps on some underlying cause, like being beheaded, being this, you know, being chased, being, you know, whatever.
Some of them are formula. Like, some of them, like, obviously neck issues is one of four.
Yeah.
Do it on, if you have neck issues, do it on being hung, being decapitated, being beheaded, or being choked to death.
Right.
If it's lungs, do it on being drowned, being suffocated, being buried alive. And those can bring issues. So that's what the SFT lexicon does, is it gives you the connection with what the past life issues. When you have Raynaud's disease, which is the cold hands and feet, do it on freezing to death.
Yep. Good. Well, we've done a mini SFT facilitator workshop in this Gin in the Jami, so we'll leave it for the main workshop, but please sign up for that one. That one's going to be a huge one. Getting to the topic of today. So the topic for this episode is energy systems. Now,
Okay.
Can I just lead in really quickly, and then I'm going to hand over to you, because this is your lane, right? So I don't want to come into your lane. So energy systems, a lot of, you know, in the spiritual realms is, you know, the seven chakras or a whole bunch of chakras and this, that, and the other, and all linear and whatever. You've got a different take on it. And if you can take it from here, please, Jen.
Okay. So I don't want to throw you a curveball, but what they're telling me to talk about is totally different than what we...
Well, of course they are. You know, why change the formula now? You know, this is just what happens.
No, but this is really interesting. So when I took anatomy and physiology, massage therapy, I forgot how long ago. It was like 15 years ago, whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe longer. And we were taught in anatomy and physiology, and it's standard that there's 11 systems of the body.
Okay.
Cardiovascular, muscular, digestive, the excretory, all of those, reproductive, digestive, la la la. 11 of them.
Okay.
And even though in my infancy, if I had an infancy in this lifetime of awareness, that didn't sit right with me, because the human body is based on sacred geometry.
Yeah.
And 12 is the number of the sacred geometry. So they're talking about all these systems of the body, the skin and stuff, and what didn't make sense, what has been the missing piece with that is the energy system. They specifically left that out.
Mm-hmm.
And did you know that in the 18th century in America, that there were hospitals, when they were building hospitals, there were hospitals that would like heal people with herbs and have success with natural medicinal things, and they would be shut down?
Okay.
Because they wanted it to, like, I think this is changing now, but Western medicine has kind of like shut down the energy system because it was too foo-foo. So a couple years ago, there was a research thing, and scientists have discovered that the connective tissue of the body, which they thought was just a throwaway, is actually an intricate communication system between the body. It's actually the 12th system of the body. It is the energy system. So the connective tissue, which travels all through and connects all the organs, limbs, everything, is the energy system. So I had figured that out in myself, and then the scientists, you know, validate that in a way.
Yeah.
And so what that means is that all of these systems have been communicating with each other, and that's been the missing piece, is the energy of it. Now, when people are, even like the most spiritual people who are taught to meditate, they're taught that the energy, to visualize the energy coming down into the body, and they visualize that like, oh, light coming down or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's not that. What that is actually doing is it's actually working against the natural flow of energy. It's almost like forcing salmon to go upstream to whatever, because your energy, you're not a stick figure. The energy doesn't just flow down into your body. You are a dynamic, whirling, twirling toroidal field.
Okay. So you've used the term toroidal field. Can you just describe it? And perhaps maybe I can describe it.
Well, a toroidal field, it looks like it's like the sacred shape. It's like an inner tube, but it's also like a red corpuscle, and it shows up in energy. Can you do better than that?
I'll try. And in any case, those listeners that are interested in visualizing a toroidal field, if you simply Google it, put it in your favorite search engine, you'll find some images. But it is a three-dimensional field, energy field, that has a void or a vacuum in the center, and the energy radiates in all directions that ultimately forms something of a sphere, but radiates from the center out in all directions, coming back in. And just think about it as being a three-dimensional, ultimately it has a the envelope of a sphere, but it has it's different. So that's about the best that I can do in words, but by all means, type in toroidal field, T-O-R-O-I-D-A-L, I think is how you spell it, field, in your favorite search engine. Now, what's important about that, Jen? Why did you mention it?
So people are conditioned in the third dimension to think of the human body as a stick figure.
Right.
Linearly. And we're not, we're a starburst. So it's like they think of the chakras as like going down, and it's not like that. Every single one of your cells is an energy system.
Yep.
And so it's like, and this, like, the energy isn't just coming up the top and it has to trickle down. It's being bombarded in every direction, and it's emanating out, and it's feeding in and out. And that's how the toroidal field is. It's like, it's an exchange on all surface areas. It's not just, there's no linear about it. So right. People have to upgrade their concept of energy, even when they're meditating and stuff, because they trap themselves. Yep. When they're imagining energy coming down,
yeah,
they should see that it's like a donut where the it's hollow. There's a vacuum there for the energy to flow through.
Yeah,
and so when you're visualizing plugging it up with energy, you're probably
pushing it the wrong way.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so that's happened.
Keep going, please.
No.
You go. All right. I was going to move on to the next topic. So, but just in case you haven't finished this one, we are in a second. But the next thing that comes with, you know, the linearity of traditional ways of thinking about the chakras is the idea of the kundalini and the movement of the kundalini. And you have a few things to say about that.
Well, I have a hard time talking about that because I don't know what I don't know. And I'm going to get like attacked by all these kundalini who,
right.
There are some people who have mastered the kundalini energy. Yep. Usually they're dynamic male energy, and they use it for sexual. Oh, they can hold back the force, and they can make sexual pleasure forever. But for the layman, who's like playing with the Kundalini energy. It's not meant to be played with. The Kundalini energy is the energy that's dormant, and it releases when you climax.
Okay.
So you are going into the sex talk kind of. So when people mess with the Kundalini energy, they unseat the seal of it, and it can cause crazy anger and insanity. It's like this force that's too much for the body.
Okay.
And I've had...
Sorry, go ahead.
Okay, so you said okay. I've had like, I found this out like through Twitter years ago, like 11 years ago, this man from Africa tweeted me, and I didn't know what I knew and everything. And he was like, tell me, and I could tune into him, and I saw that his Kundalini energy was unhinged. It was off.
Yeah.
So I basically just sealed it up for him. I see the Kundalini energy as this heavy kind of like, it's like a toilet, a porcelain toilet. When they put it on the, when they put it on the floor, they have to line it up and they have to seal it so it doesn't. So that's how I see the Kundalini energy, is that heavy, and it doesn't move once you place it, but you have to place it in the right spot and seal it up.
Okay.
And sometimes if it slides off, then energy will leak out and it'll be negative and it'll cause problems. It'll either cause, you know, imbalances, or it'll cause weakness in the body, or it'll cause anger.
Okay.
So what I do is a couple taps. Can we give them those taps? Because they might need them.
Maybe. Yep.
Oh, it's just to reseat. And they can play this and do it by themselves.
Yep.
We three times on the head, once on the chest while tapping, and once on the abdomen.
Yep.
We reseat our Kundalini energy in all moments. Yeah, people are doing this. We reseat our Kundalini energy in all moments. 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 One more, a different one. Now you want to seal it so it's like not accessible. We reseal our Kundalini energy in all moments. 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 Yeah. So people are doing that right now. Well, not right now, in the future when they watch this.
Well, but it's happening in all moments, so there you go.
Right, so I'm feeling it now. But when you do this test, I just got really hot and all that. So remember in the old days when fighters used to go in the ring and they said when they're training, they couldn't have sex?
Yes.
The reason they didn't want them to have sex is they didn't want them to use up their Kundalini energy.
Right.
So is it time? Can we talk about the sex talk now?
Yes, we've segued into, ready for it, ladies and gentlemen, the sex talk.
I know, but this was really interesting because I have never been a really sexual person, actually. It's not something that I like, whatever. But in theory, the adepts were showing me what happens years ago and the concept of it. Because what happens in theory is like, in a relationship, the woman is like giving her love to the man and pouring her love into the man because it's her nature to give to the man, and she's been trained to give to the man. You're wasting your creative energy when you do that. So the way it works is when two people love each other and they have decided to make a toroidal field together, there's an agreement, or two people, man, whatever. But so... When the man inserts his energy into his partner, this is what the adepts have told me. So this is kind of embarrassing, but the adepts have actually shown me. What he's doing is he's shoving his intention, his energy, his Kundalini energy through the spinal column of the female. And that's where the vacuum is in her toroidal field. So she has an intention as well. the female, it's supposed to, his energy is supposed to be the fuel that drives her intention and her ability to manifest and create this toroidal field out and manifest something. So they agree on a manifestation, a concept, and her energy expounds, and a female energy is expansive. The male energy ejaculates the kundalini energy into the female, and when, it sounds so corny, I'm so sorry.
No, you're doing really well.
Okay, and so it joins with her intention, and if she's able to climax as well, that's the synergy as well. And their energy flushes up over, and they can make this manifest anything of their intentions from this toroidal field. Now, the woman has been taught to give her energy to the male, and what that does is just flattens and just wastes the energy.
Right, so what it's doing is it's basically collapsing the potential for this energy system that you're describing and the toroidal field which emanates from the female partner to create and then manifest. And so I think that's the upgrade that you're providing here is, and are you going to provide the mechanism or just the understanding today? Because you know what, just before you respond, hang on, whoa, before you respond.
I don't know what you're asking me to give them.
Not, before you respond, this could be a whole freaking group show, group session thing. Because my sense is a lot of people are interested in the topic. And the reason why I know this is because, you know, in sort of Eastern philosophies, you know, the Tantra and various other things, and there are workshops and whatever. So clearly people are interested in the topic. And but so you've today you've provided an understanding.
And the problem with all that lasciviousness is they don't carry the sacred intention of honoring the female as a manifestation. Okay. So if those things are about pleasure in the woman and making her climax, it's for their own pleasure of watching that or enjoying that and receiving that energy back, but not for the intention of manifesting. So what's interesting, as we do this, I can feel the libido levels go up in the people listening to this. So what's happening is people have been apathetic about their sexuality because it gets old, you know, it's like, okay, you know, but if you're doing it with an intention, like, how about your intention be something so magnanimous, like world peace?
Yep.
And you create a world, you create a toroidal field of higher consciousness.
Yep.
Or expand it. Like some people will do it, like if they have an intention together, like a business or making a baby is like dumbing it down to like the common denominator. Like it's like, it's great if that's the intention of both of you, but that's been their only choice. And actually it's a symbolic of making a baby is symbolic for manifesting something of a higher consciousness that can be profound. If one of you is a creator or has an intention for the world or to serve humanity in some way, feed that through your sexual activities.
So let it never be said that genuine healing doesn't provide for all of humanity at multiple levels.
Wait a minute. So what was that? You asked me if I was going to supply something for them.
No, so techniques versus understanding, right? So what we're basically talking, and by the way, I'm not going to suggest that you actually provide a technique. In fact, you kind of already have.
Well, basically, actually, there is a technique.
Okay, can I just, all right, yours.
No, you go.
All right, so my very simple response to the technique that has been provided is have the intention at the time that you have an intention, a higher purpose intention, at the time the toroidal field is forming so that manifested, the toroidal field through the activity, generated through the activity, is part of the process to then manifest that intention. Okay, so that's kind of one. But
so what you're saying is the intention is the foreplay.
Thank you for that visualization.
No, that's huge because it's like, what's the point? It's like, oh, okay, let's do this. Oh, by the way, I have to defend the women out there.
All right.
Like, okay, so this is men out there. When you want to like finish and then just roll over, you are violating spiritual law. Because when you like create this energy between you, you become one unit. And then when you just roll away, you're ripping apart this thing that you've created, and then you're leaving her wounded, literally wounded in energy. And then you have to deal with it for the next 4 hours when she's crying and you don't get it. Well, just don't rip apart. It has to ease. It doesn't have to take all night to talk and everything, but you have to like let her ease out of that thing. And I have that process like when I'm doing energy work.
Yep.
And it's like, nope, you can't separate from me right yet. That's going to be painful for me. You got to let me ease down and ease you back in the landing and stuff.
Yep.
Right?
Yes.
And then the other thing about sexuality, there's nothing more sexy than being heard. So, and people have a hard time listening. They think they know how to listen. But you take away all those things and you just concentrate on the intention there and remove all the things that are between that you think are important. You can't multitask, because what you're doing is honing in to this manifestation. You're actually, it's like the sperm and the egg in your intentions. You're actually manifesting an intention, and it takes this attraction, and it has to be nothing in between that. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. So, can I just say in closing...
Oh, wait, one more thing.
One more thing.
I know, I'm sorry. So a great way to fight with your spouse without fighting with them is is if there's, you have a problem with your spouse and you don't want to make a big issue with it. This is a way you can fight with them, is like say, oh, honey, could you just do this tap on like chewing with your mouth open or something, or just like, you know, farting all the time and stuff. And then they'll just do the tap and stuff. And then they'll say, sure, can you do the tap on like bitching and complaining all the time? And then they'll do that tap and they're actually doing the work. And then they can be mean and funny about it at the same time. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, it's very disarming. Like, yes, without being confrontational.
And so it can lead to like just a lot of laughter releasing and then ending in making a toroidal field.
Fantastic. Thank you. Hey, just in closing, I don't know if the listener, the viewer can tell, but when Jen was talking, having the sex talk, did the listeners observe the intensity of Darshan's eyes? He was paying attention. And his mouth was like, ooh. It had this, ooh, wow. It's like, so please comment below if you could see that. And have a look at it now. It's like, you know, his eyes are wide open. It's like, whoa, this is information. So that's so cool.
Yeah, you embarrassed him now. Now he's like self-conscious.
Well, yeah, okay. Sorry, Darshan.
That's okay. He knows his role.
What a fascinating session, fascinating conversation. Thanks for the sex talk. Thank you, Jen. Thank you, Darshan. Thank you, Kip. Thank you, listeners. Please like, share, subscribe, comment, share.
Thank you.
Bye for now.
Bye for now.
patience and time. Thinking about good things gone miss from our mind. You've been off on your own. Talk to me, talk to me, talk to me.